Welcome to the Practical Church Revitalization Podcast. We look at revitalization in real time, examining the ups and downs of revitalizing and replanting historic and legacy churches throughout New England and the U.S. Now here's your hosts.
Welcome back to the Practical Church Revitalization Podcast. I am your host, Don McKinnon, and with me is...
Eric Malloy, soon to be formerly of First Church in Charlestown.
Yes, and that's why we're here. We're here today because many of you have been wondering what's up with Eric. And even though I have known a lot of the details, it is not my story to tell, as I posted on social media earlier this week. Even though you'll be listening to this next week, which will be today if you're listening to it, in that kind of weird passed on talking to the future. But anyway, I digress. And that's what happens when you have a philosophy degree. Eric is here to kind of give us an update. The last time I think Eric and I were together on a podcast was interviewing Ed Litton.
It's been a while.
And prior after that, there was a couple of episodes where we're actually conversations Eric and I were having as I was working on my master's degree, and he was to be the interviewee for the questions I had asked on the exit interview. So those were that. But anyway, there's just been a lot going on with Eric, and I'm going to let him have the mic on this. I'm going to be the MC, and I'm going to ask him point blank. We're just going to jump into this. So, Eric, everybody's known you on here since 2017.
Since we launched.
Yeah.
And almost 5 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. And everybody's been wondering where you have been what's been going on these last few years.
Well, obviously we were around back in March. It's kind of towards, we were still pandemicking. In August of 2020, I went back to teaching full time because, just because of the our church had shrunk so much, and so much of what we brought in financially was off of missions teams. That was really what paid my salary. And in 2020, we didn't have that, and just not sure what the future held. I didn't want to continue to take a salary from the church. And so I went back to teaching full time. And so it's been, you've just been doing that, working from home, which is not what I'm built for. It's good times. So I've been doing that, working, still was working at the shop part-time, when I can pick up hours kind of thing.
Gun shop, which is fun.
Doing life and trying to, make church work. We've really lost basically the rest of our leadership team. That's not, Pastor Sam and, his wife, Molly. So really just an added responsibility with church and all that kind of stuff. So it's been crazy. It's been hectic. It's been busy. It's been stressful. And so that's really what we've been doing. Our worship leader, really the only worship leader I'd had almost the whole time I was here in Charlestown, was left a year ago, January 21, mm-hmm. which I mean, they moved further out. They wanted to do a church near their house.
Moved south of where the church is.
Significantly south. And I actually had a long conversation with Mike last week. So, I mean, Mike and I are great. Like, we still have a phenomenal relationship. We get along really well. There's no conflict or anything like that. So that's been a good thing. And then we had another guy take over, and then he stepped down November.
Yeah, I think I remember you telling me that. Yeah.
So he stepped out in November. So with that, you know, we've really just kind of lost. And then we had some other people just kind of leave the church over some other stuff. One girl who was in leadership's kind of just, she's left the church in general. She's not living for Jesus or anything right now. So that's, you know, that's another loss. And then, you know, and so it's just been, you know, one thing after the other, one thing after the other. And so we've just taken on more responsibility. And yeah, and that's really kind of what's been going on, is that we just continue to lose people from moving, from, you know, and it was, you know, the people never, I mean, probably the rest of you guys are in the same boat. The people who were committed for the most part came back. But it was the people, the fringy people who never really were committed to begin with, like never came back. And so that's kind of what we've been dealing with. You know, but some of those fringy people filled roles. They greeted, you know, they helped work slides. They helped out with some things that, you know, made life better for us. And then we lose that. And, you know, it makes things tough. So, you know, now, sorry about
that. Yeah, no, I was going to say, now you had actually experienced a growth right before COVID.
Yeah. Too. Yeah. We'd really grown a lot right before COVID. We'd really seen kind of a lot of good stuff happening, right before COVID, and seen some real growth and some good things happening, in the church right before COVID. Had gone on a partnership trip and really made some good connections, in like this time 2 years ago, like this time January 2020. I mean, I just saw on Facebook, it was right after my son graduated boot camp. I was in Kentucky and Tennessee. Made some strong partnerships. And then, you know, the world shut down in March. So,
all right. So this is probably the question I've been asked about you, and you and I have talked about this, and so I've known your thoughts on it, but the people want to know, are you burnt out?
Absolutely. I am burned out. I am tired, and I am burned out and frustrated. And yeah, that's yeah, absolutely.
When do you think you finally like came to that realization?
Let's see, I was able to take that sabbatical in July of 2020, is that right? Yeah, which was nice. We got 2 weeks of vacation. That was really helpful. You know, came back and we're, you know, felt like I got some good rest. I'm still working. I was working another job, but it was nice because it was like go to work and go home. No real like responsibilities afterwards. I like to work, so working's kind of restful for me. And so it was really nice. You know, came back from that and just, you know, hit the grind again. And then I would say it was probably about a year, a little over a year into COVID, probably summer of 21 was really kind of when it started to hit bad. You know, I think it was just everything. I think like, you know, everything in the world around us was starting to wear on me as well. And then, you know, just life plus everything else. And I think it just kind of, I think I would say it was probably that summer. That summer was probably kind of what did it.
So, now here's the thing, you made an announcement, and, you know, without a doubt, that announcement really is, you know, you're still basically just ending on a positive note in some ways, revitalizing, because you're not going to close the building and put it up for sale. You know, could you tell the audience what's going on and who's taking over?
So we have a church planter in Charlestown, meets next door to us. They were meeting in an elementary school, and then of course COVID, and then they were meeting in the theater, and the theater said it was only temporary, so they had to find somewhere. And so they were approached to meet next door to us, and he just reached out to be like, hey, listen, I want to make sure things are cool. And I was like, man, I don't really care, like I think it's a good thing, like whatever. you know, we're the only two gospel preaching churches in the community. So like, you know, whatever, who cares? I'm good with that. And then, and so we're friends, like I'm definitely friends with, his name's JD. I'm definitely friends with JD. You know, we get together, we trade texts, you know, that kind of thing. And, you know, just, I would say it kind of came to a head last November. So about 3 months ago, towards the end of November, you know, I could see, it's like 2.5 months ago, you know, I could see that my wife was definitely, feeling burnout and getting frustrated. I could see it in everybody else. Just, you know, the feeling of overwhelming. And then you're like, well, what's it going to take for us to grow, to reach people? And then, you know, you look and you're like, man, we're doing everything on a weekly basis, like just to make church happen. And then on top of that, you know, now if we want to try to reach anybody, now what? What does that mean? It means that like now we have like even more on our plate, mm-hmm. which I'm not sure how we could do that. And then you really kind of just be honest with yourself. You're like, I'm not sure if we did grow, how effective we could even be in discipling new believers, just simply because, you know, we have to make everything else go. And on top of that, don't forget, like we all still have full-time jobs, you know, outside of the church. So it's not like, you know, anything else, like any of us are full-time. I'm not full-time. None of us are full-time. So I have to work. And then on top of that, I would have to figure out a time to disciple new believers. And I was like, you know, I'm just not sure that this is something that's even feasible long-term. And I don't think it's something we can actually do. So I just sat down with Sarah and I was like, well, how are you feeling? And she was pretty frank and pretty honest that she was, you know, tired and she was burnt out. And, you know, I don't speak for her, but I'll definitely say for myself at that point where you start to feel burnt out, the fear is then, you know, bitterness will set in. You know, you're like, well, I'm bitter that more people aren't helping out, aren't stepping up. And so now I'm like more exhausted because, you know, nobody wants to jump on board and help us out. So, and so I was like, you know, I gotta just be honest. We're not in a good place for that. And so I said, you know, what do you think? And she's, I don't know. I said, you know, cause Pastor Sam and I had already had a conversation that we needed to, I would say back in September, that we were like, okay, we're going to, in 6 months from now, we're going to have to like really kind of see where we're at and really kind of examine like where we really are and begin thinking about what some next steps are. And if this is something that can be, that's sustainable. And so even in like November, I was like, dude, I don't think this is sustainable. Like, I just don't think this is sustainable, the way we're going. You know, and so we made the decision that it was time to move on, and that the best thing we could do would be to merge our congregation with JD's and gift the building to his church, as well as, you know, anything else we have inside the building. And so that's what we're doing. And so we made that announcement last Sunday on the 9th. Will be effective February 1st. So on my last Sunday is January 30th. And we're going to do a combined service with the church plant kind of as a formal, like a transition kind of thing. And then I'm not sure what their time frame is for moving into the building fully. Thankfully, because I have some remodeling to do at my house. So thankfully JD's been really cool and said I can keep my books in my office until I can get a space remodel in my house to be able to store them all. So that's been, you know, he's been really cool about that. And he's really like, hey, listen, I want this to be as cool and as like, you know,
right,
as painless of a transition as we can make it, and we can all, you know, get along really well and stuff like that. So that's so that's the case. So that's, you know, it's been kind of a really good one. And we just kind of knew, like, we just could see, we could just really see kind of the writing on the wall, and we could kind of see how it was going and where we were going and that kind of thing. So,
all right. Well, and, you know, it is one of those things that's going to stay, the building's going to stay in the SBC family.
It is.
So we're, you know, it's just going to be a slightly different name. That's the funny thing. It's going to drop the first and become Christ Church. Right. Now, hopefully people don't think they're in New Zealand, but
yeah,
Anyway, so what's the future got for Eric J. Malloy?
We are not sure. That's the thing, is that that's the burning question everybody has for us. Hey, what are you guys doing? Where are you going next? What, you know, what's the plan? And we don't have a plan. I think if we're honest with myself, and I think that's an important part. I think I have to look at like what my skill set is and my personality, like my strength and weaknesses. And if I'm honest with myself, I would say I'm probably more gifted in the area of church planting than I am in church revitalization. If I'm honest with just where my skills lie and where my passions lie and where my weaknesses are and those kind of things. So I would say that, you know, ministry would probably look more like church planting again down the road. One day, you know, we're just kind of, and right now we're just taking a hiatus. We have no plans. You know, February 6th, we'll go into a different church. Maybe a couple, who knows? You know, I'm going to school, so working on my master's in education so I can keep my job. Kind of important. And from there we will move forward. I'll be working on my master's through the summer, which means I can't really take on any kind of leadership role. That was kind of on purpose.
Yeah.
And it's kind of by design. So with that being said, you know, just kind of praying about what those next steps look like, where we might go, you know, those kind of things. But it's not really conversations we're having quite yet. We're just, you know, we're still gonna take that step back and really kind of pray and kind of think about that. And, you know, I've gotten a couple people who were like, hey, you interested in moving to our area? You know, friends and partners and that kind of thing. So, you know, maybe we'll do a decision show like LeBron on the podcast.
Eric Malloy, the decision. Well, you know, I hold on. Where are we? We're pointing here. Yeah. See, you have a hand in this, you know, as many people, you have a hand in that one. So I'm grateful. Yeah. And I'm hoping you get one yourself one day, if not sooner.
Yeah. Well, have that master. I got to get that master's in ed first. So plus I get a pay raise for it. So like, I kind of can't.
I kind of got to get
after that. So.
The you know. M-Ed. All right. So let me ask you this. You've pretty much said it, you know, you feel your skill set is more geared to church planting. And, you know, most of our listeners, if they remember episode one, I probably should have released episode one, re-released it. Of course, that would take 3 hours for them to listen to. So
anyway. That thing was long.
That was long. That's when we first didn't know how to do it. And Kyle Bierman and Matt Hensley had to school us. But your first thing that you mentioned in the first episode was you had a successful church plant in Washington.
We did.
Solid Rock Fellowship. And, you know, it is that thing. I think we look at church planting, church replanting, church, you know, pastoring an established church, and, you know, as all different skill sets. And so what are your final thoughts on church revitalization?
So I think we treat church revitalization not as well as we, or with as much thought, I don't think, and I think it's changing, but at least right now we don't treat it with as much thought as we do with church planting. With planting, it's, you know, very big, you know, build a team. I mean, you can even like get funding from NAM if your model is the parish, just parachute in without any real support or anything like that. And that's kind of the typical default model in revitalization.
Right.
Is the pastor and his wife just parachute in, and then, you know, you're trying to you know, steer the ship with a teaspoon, so to speak. And it's, you know, I think you're setting, there's a lot of setup for failure. I would say the biggest issue that we had was establishing culture, because the problem becomes it's really just me attempting to establish culture. And I would say that's one of the biggest ones that we saw differently from a church plant when we had a team to start than trying to be one person to change culture, because ultimately everybody's like, oh, it's the pastor. He's asking us to serve. He's telling us to share the gospel. It feels like there's less of a buy-in because you're trying to convince people to do things. Whereas when you church plant with a team, yes, you know, someone's the lead pastor and everybody kind of follows, but ultimately you have a group of people who are all establishing this culture together. And so it's not just, hey, it's just me saying it and trying to convince you guys. No, it's six or seven of us who are saying it and who are like, hey, we're living this. Like, this is just like who we are and what we do. I remember we had five guys who started on staff kind of in pastoral type roles. And all five of us would show up every Sunday morning to set up. Like, all five of us would be there at like 8 o'clock every Sunday morning to set up. And so I remember when someone would ask, hey, listen, can I, you know, how do I get involved? I'd be like, see you next Sunday morning at 8:30.
Yep.
Like, meet us at the building, 8:30, set up chairs.
That's the way it was in meeting house.
And then, I mean, I had someone who didn't come out and say it, but basically very much hinted that they thought their skill set and what they wanted to do was too important to come set up chairs, and that their time could be used elsewhere. Of course, nobody will come out and say that. They'll insinuate it, and they'll say it, you know, read between the lines and say it. And so my response was, dude, we have five pastors on staff. All five of us are here every Sunday morning setting up. So, I mean, I'm not trying to be a jerk, but I preach every Sunday. So I would argue that my time is probably a lot more important than your time is in whatever ministry you're trying to do. And I'm here every Sunday. So, I mean, I don't know where you're going, but that's kind of my thought process. And so it's just a difference in culture. And I think it's too hard to establish new culture with only one person. Even if you get people to buy in, they're still buying into an established church with, you know, I would say the biggest thing that comes out of church planting is this culture of we have to serve and we have to work, because for years you're in temporary facilities where you're setting up chairs or setting up children's church or setting up the stage, or, you know what I'm saying? You're doing all of that kind of stuff just to make things function. And it creates a culture where it's like, we're all in this together. And then there's even like relationships that are built from, you know, stacking chairs together and stuff like that. So,
right.
You know, I mean, our oldest was 10 when we church planted, and he was like when our children's pastor was gone one Sunday, he was like the go-to person at age 11 on how to set up children's church. I mean, that's, you know, and so you're like, I mean, not that I would say you could weaponize it, but it's a great, like, you know, so you're too good to come set up chairs, but that 11-year-old kid will work circles around you. Like, you know, I mean, do you want to serve or do you just want to look important? And so I think, there's a lot of elimination from that. And I think there's a lot of change. And so I think the team concept becomes so important because you're able to establish the culture and you're able to affect change on a larger level with multiple people than you are with just, you know, like just the pastor.
Right. And we've talked about this at length at nauseam, behind the scenes and everything else. And we've both agreed that church revitalization is going to have to become more like a church planting mindset, having teams because of that culture. And so people have been asking me what my doctoral project is going to be. And you and I discuss this, and you actually gave me the idea, which is ironic because I gave one of my professors his, but so I'm giving you the credit for the thought on this here, but my doctoral is going to be about creating a new way of church revitalization by creating teams to go into churches and establish the new culture, you know, change the DNA in the churches, right, if you will. So that's what we got to do. Maverick's joined us.
Yes, he's right here. Let's see if he'll come up. Oh, he's right here. See, hey, buddy. Say, oh, yeah. See, he gets to get close to my face now. Hey, buddy. Hey, buddy. So
for the listeners, they're not hearing this. We'll put the video up. But for the listeners, Eric's joined by his lab mix, Maverick, who he adopted last year. And he's a beautiful boy.
He really is. He's a handsome guy. So normally I come home and we'll hang out on the couch and he gets to cuddle, but I've been busy all the time. So now he's a little extra clingy and wants to cuddle and play. So, yeah, buddy. Hey, buddy. So Yeah,
all right.
All right. All right. All right. All right. No more kisses. All right.
Yeah. All right. No more so, kisses. You know, here we are now. It's almost 5 years to the day. We're a few months shy, but I can remember going into that studio, that makeshift studio, the little side room off of the sanctuary. Yes. And yes. Recording the first, wasn't even just the first, it was the first five, I think.
Yeah.
Five podcasts. And it was an experience, but.
And we've remodeled that room since. That's the funny part. That room's been remodeled. So.
Just to reassure the listeners, this is going on. This is not going to end. Natalie, as you know, has joined me many a time as co-host. And I've already said it on the previous episode. I'm working on getting some interviews with some revitalizers and guys around this area and other areas. So there's more to happen. Just stay tuned. But you know what? I usually close this thing out. So Eric, take us out.
Well, I guess I'm in essence kind of signing off. It seems silly. It seems like I really don't belong on a revitalization podcast outside of revitalization. So, hey, listen, the biggest thing I guess I want to leave with people is, and just remember, you can't see what's happening in eternity, right? So while from the outside, with most of the metrics that we always measure churches with, we failed at First Church, but in essence, I don't think we did. I think the long lasting effects, we won't know this side of eternity. I've had conversations with several people who have said they've been so thankful for the ministry, for the time they were at First Church, and for what God did in their lives, and how much God moved and transformed and used the church to help them follow Jesus. I think we did a lot for paving the way for the merge and for Christ Church to come in behind it. And I think God was just orchestrating this whole thing. And if I'm honest, I think my task was literally to do what I did. And that was to come here, bring a church, you know, lead a church back to orthodoxy, and then pave the way for the next guy. So I truly believe that my task was to be the placeholder for God's man to come. And so now, you know, in the future, I see any wins that happen with Christ Church in Charlestown. I see it as part of, I see it as a win for us too, because we get to be part of that story, and I'm thankful for that. So I guess I would say, man, you know, stay the course, you know, be faithful, because ultimately that's what we're called to be. We're called to be faithful. And, you know, I'm a sports analogy guy, so I can say that, you know, if we call this a loss, I would say that, man, we executed our game plan. Let me do it Belichick style. You know, we executed our game plan. We went out there, we did everything we could. I mean, we just didn't win. You know, you ever played a sport, you ever coached a sport, you know, there's sometimes you go out there and you play your guts out and you just get beat. And honestly, that's the best analogy. I mean, I know we didn't get beat because ultimately God wins, but, you know, from the outside, that's what it would look like. And so, you know, I'm thankful for it. I know God used a lot of it to really, mold and to shape and to transform me. And if that's what I can take away from it, then that's awesome. I know that, people have been called in the ministry out of our ministry and all of that kind of stuff. And so, man, listen, I just want to say, thanks for all the support. I know lots of you guys who listen, have been our prayer supporters. There's some of you guys who have been partner churches who have come up and served alongside of us and helped us and asked how you could help us. And I just want to make sure I know that everybody knows that how thankful I am for all of that. For those of you guys who tuned in to listen to two guys, you know, ramble on about revitalization in New England, who were just trying to figure out as they went, you know, hey, listen, good lessons are still good lessons. I mean, even if we're moving on, good lessons are still good lessons. And we're thankful for all you guys who've listened. We're thankful for all you guys who supported us. I would just, you know, on a personal level, hey, just pray for us to you know, take the season of rest and to be able to take this time to recover and recuperate. Though, unfortunately, I probably will be itching down the road in a few months because I don't sit still very well.
I've called it already. So,
I mean, you know, I think it's just how I'm built. Some of us are just like that. So, But just pray that we would be mindful of where of the direction that God's leading us, and that we would be open to whatever it is, whatever direction he has for us, and that we would be looking forward to whatever our next ministry call is. Pray for my wife, that she can get some rest. Pray for Pastor Sam and Molly as well, in this transition for all of us. And then do me a favor and pray for JD and pray for Christchurch, Christchurch Charlestown, that they would, you know, pick up the torch and they can and continue the work. And that, you know, that we can all one day stand before Jesus and get the reward of being faithful and of serving. And so thank you guys for everything. I'm glad to have been part of the podcast for as long as I was, and excited to see what Don will be doing. And then who knows, man, maybe next time after we make it a big announcement, maybe I'll come back on and kind of share with you guys what's next, or maybe not, who knows. So
people are now going to be waiting for the Eric Malloy, the decision podcast.
The decision. We won't show the crappy photo. We won't show the crappy Photoshop I made.
No, but I'm thinking we should get together and just set it up like the table with LeBron that time. So Eric, yes, I'm leaning in. Eric, tell us what's going to happen. No, but anyway.
So that's hey, listen, you know, ultimately, like, you know, it's about being faithful, and you know, like, I can, we're sad to leave, but at the same time, I'm excited to see what God's going to do next. I'm excited to see where we're going to go next, and I'm just excited to have been able to be part of all of it, and I praise God for the time that we had, and I look forward to, you know, everything else that's coming next. So yeah,
right, well, then I guess I'll leave that, and I will say goodbye. I will see you next week. And of course, I will still be texting Eric and driving him crazy every couple of hours as we both work teaching. COVID, just end, please.
Thank God, please.
Yeah. But so for the whole Practical Church Revitalization staff, including Eric, because he's still on it until we hit stop. We'll see you next week. God bless.